Praise the Lord. Message number 285. The title of the message, The Fear of God, Part 1. And we speak from Psalm 50 about judgment start in the house of God. Let's open our Bible to Psalm 50. We will read the whole Psalm. The Mighty One, God, the Lord speaks and surmounts the earth from the rising of the sun where it sits, from Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice. Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, Israel. I am God, your God. I bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifices or concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of a goat from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. But to the wicked person, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him. You throw in your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue to deceit. You sit and testify against your brother and slander your own mother's son. When you did these things and I kept silent, you thought I was exactly like you. But I now arraign you and set my accusation before you. Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with no one to rescue you. Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me. Unto the blameless I will show my salvation. Let's pray. O God, we thank you and we bless you. We magnify your name. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to anoint your word, anoint this time, anoint my lips and put scriptures and verses and word to encourage your people, to help them to realize what you are telling to them, to come back to you, to repent, to get revived, to come out from sin, to make a clear and sound decision to stand firm against sin, against wickedness, and against compromises. In the name of Jesus, I pray for more workers to be raised up as they hear your word and follow your commands and your will. O God, in the name of Jesus, let your message bring salvation, bring help, healing, hope, comfort, support that come from you. O God, I pray you take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and make it reach those who are in need of this word of yours and those who are waiting to hear it. We thank you, God. We bless you. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here in this psalm, the Lord is calling heaven and earth. God, the creator of heaven and earth, he is the God of our salvation. He is the God who sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save us from sin and from death. And he is the judge of the whole earth. He continually keep judging the world and preparing us, preparing everyone for the final judgment when Christ will come. When Christ will come, those who will come with him, those saints who are dead in Christ, and we who are still alive. And the Lord continually judging the world through trials, through his word, through warning, through discipline, through judgment, so that we will be prepared. The church will be prepared. The Bible, the word of God tells that judgment will start in the house of the Lord. And here in Psalm 50, God is judging his people. In verse 1, the mighty one God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sits. God is calling the whole world. And he is holding a court. You know, he's like a court, and God is calling the whole world. How we know that he's calling the whole world? He's calling every mankind from the rising of the sun till it sets. So everyone is included. There is no one born on earth, and God failed to call him and give him chance to hear the word of God in order for him or for her to be saved. And verse 2 say, from Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. God, our Lord, before the coming of Christ, he was communing and he was dwelling with his people in Zion, in Jerusalem. Zion is one of the mountains in Jerusalem. And the Lord was dwelling in the temple, in the Ark of the Covenant. When his people come, the Lord commune with them and speak to them. They come to worship him. They come to adore him. They come to offer to him. They come to him for repentance. They come to him to listen to his word. They come to him to renew their commitment unto him. And now, the Lord, after death of Christ on the cross and his burial and his resurrection from the dead, and after he was ascended to heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit, the Lord dwell with his church, with the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, God's throne of judgment was from Zion, and here today on earth, that the Lord dwell with his people, the church, those who responded to his call, who came out of the world and started to live in holiness and start to save him. God's throne of judgment is in heaven and executed on earth through his church. Verse 3, our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him and around him a tempest rages. God would always manifest himself to the people. He introduced himself and intervened in their lives. He is continually speaking and declaring his word and his will in various ways. Some people, they say, if God is there, why there are wars, why there are calamities, why there are earthquakes, why people fighting and killing one another? You know what we have learned here? When the Lord comes, he will not be silenced. You know, God, he show himself, and he will make his people and the people to fear him and to tremble at his presence. God, you must know, God manifests himself with a dramatic manner. A fire shall devour before him. A fire devour before him. It can't be earthquake. It can be winds. It can be also volcanoes, floods, wars, calamities. All these painful events and tragedies that God will do in order to attract the attention of the people, to attract the attention of His people and make them aware about God's presence around them and make them realize that He is observing and monitoring everything. To make them realize that judgment is in the hand of God. We don't know which time the Lord will judge, but we need to be ready. Certain time, you may not understand how to explain the events that's going on around you, but for every event, it is programmed by God, and God has a good reason. He may not explain it to you or to us or to the church, but He had a good reason to do what He desired or He decided to do. He summons the heavens, verse 4 above, and the earth, that He may judge His people. When He calls the heavens to witness and the whole earth to witness, the purpose is to judge His people, to execute judgment on His people. God first judge His people, to deal with them in a proper way. When He called the heaven and earth, He called His people. First, those who are obedient, He will reward them and uphold them with His grace to continue to do His will. As well as He will chastise those who do evil to stop them and to lead them to repentance. In verse 5, He says, "Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice." The saints, and we are the saints, when God do something, He will call His people. He will call everyone, but first He will call His people. Those who are saints, He will use them to execute judgment. And those who are sinning, He will inflict them, and He will use the church also to discipline them and to punish them. God is calling His saints, and those who are consecrated to Him, those who have decided and committed their life to live for Him, those who made a covenant with God to live for Him and to do His will, God will use them to bring His judgment on His people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 to 4, Paul say, "Or do you not know that the Lord's people would judge the world? And if you are not judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we would judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church?" That is in NIV. Let's read King James Version. It say, "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." We understand from the scripture that we will be with the Lord in the future. When He will come, He will judge. We will judge with Him the world, and we will judge even angels. But even now, God wants us to deal with certain things and certain cases. God shine out of Zion in the New Testament. God shine out of His church. He will judge His people. God is calling his son to be with him in executing judgment against sin and against those who do wicked things. The Church of God is commissioned by the Lord to deal with sin and with those who do evil in spite of their committed, in spite of their commitment to Christ. First, the Lord, he will judge those who say, Lord, we will serve you, we will follow you, but their life had not been changed. In verse 6, we say, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice, for God is judge himself. In this court setup, the heavens are called and the saints are called to declare the righteousness of God. God in this court himself is the judge who will work out to let every decision and judgment would come out from him and would be pointed out toward him. Everyone, when certain events happen, we are not aware, but finally we see that this comes from God, and this event will be going to point toward God. In verse 7, listen, my people. Hear, O my people. Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you. Instead, I am God, your God. The people that God called his people, he is now starting to judge them. God continually will speak and testify and point out the sins that his people are doing in order to be dealt with properly and timely according to his will. He is doing that to lead his people into repentance. When God hears what we have read, when God is saying, I am God, your God, it seems that his people had forgotten his sovereignty over their lives. That's why God allows judgment every now on and then, so the people, they realize that God is the God over their life. He is now imparting to them the fear of the Lord, so they will be moving towards repentance. When God inflicts judgment and punishment and discipline and restriction and taking away privilege and inflicting painful events, he is imparting his fear into the life of his church and his people so that he will lead them into full repentance. In verse 8, I bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifices or concerning your burnt offerings which are ever before me. God is rebuking here his people not because he wants offerings and sacrifice from them. No, it is always one of the sins that God will judge his people with is when they think that God cannot manage without them. You know, pride and self-righteousness is one of the sins that God will judge. You know, God will judge his people when they think that they are, that with what they give can cover up their sin. Some people, they think that when they give tithes, offering first fruit, or supporting certain project or mission work, that can cover their sin. That it can be God rebuking his people for their pride and self righteousness is what God is dealing with those who committed their lives to live for him. And certain times, giving an offering is just a way to clear conscience and use to cover up certain sin or to compensate what they ought to do. You know, when you fail to do what God had instructed you to do, your giving sacrifices in whatever size and way, that cannot cover up your sin, and that will not put away the judgment of God from reaching you. Therefore, fear him and repent. In verse 9, I have no need of a bowl from your stall or of goats from your pains. The Lord here is reminding his people that what they have had come from him. He is confirming that he is not interested of what his people have and what he had given them. In verse 10, he say to them and to us, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon the thousand hill. God is not after what we have. God is not after of what you have, but God is after you and how you live your life for him. In verse 11, the Lord say, I know all the flowers of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. All the beasts, all the bears, God knows. Everything is belong to God and everything is under God's knowledge and under his supervision. Here, as if God, people had forgotten that God is all-knowing God and nothing is hidden from under his sight. When he told them, I know every bird and every beast, it means that the people of God, they were thinking that God does not know. You know, sometimes when there is spiritual blindness and pride and self-righteousness, you're going to start to think that you know better than God and you are more smart than God and you are more wise in your decision than God. You fear him. God is calling you to repent. In verse 12, he says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all that is in it. God is not waiting for you to manage his affairs or to manage the affairs of the world or to satisfy his needs. You know, some people, they think that they are doing favor for God, that God without them will not work, the church will be affected without them. That is wrong. If you will not be responding to God's call and humble yourself and fear him, God is ready to replace you with others who are willing to revere him, fear him, and serve him in a pleasant way. In verse 13, do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? You know, as if because of the people of pride and self-righteousness, they think that wrong ways, you know. They start thinking that God, when they were bringing for him the bulls and the goats, they think that God is eating their meat or drinking their blood. That's where that is where the self-righteousness God is judging. You know, when there's self-righteousness, sin will be rampant and everyone will justify his sin by certain giving or certain achievement. God's people, because of pride and self-righteousness, will think that they are doing favor to God when they are serving him. Many people, they think that they are better than others because they are believing in Christ. But if they are believing in Christ but not obedient to his word and his will in their life, then their faith is of no avail to them. If you believe in Christ, some people say, I am coming from Muslim background, from Hindu, from Buddhist background. There's no background that of faith. All the backgrounds are out of faith. All of us, we came from death, life of sin, to the knowledge of Christ. It's good he opened our eyes to see him. We need to fear him. We need to obey his word and live his will. God will never please with people who come to Christ but never obey and apply his word in their life. You know, all the self-righteousness cannot cover up your sin. You need, God is pointing out your sin, your good work and good deeds and good relationships cannot cover up the hidden sin that God knows and you know. In verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. Sacrifice thank offerings to God. And pay your vows to the Most High. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. When you say, offer unto God thanksgiving, or sacrifice thanksgiving, thanks offering to God, it means not to say thank you, Lord, and or say many thanksgiving you give. That's not the meaning. The meaning of it is that you have to be grateful. First, you need to be grateful to God. Count your blessing and thank Him for all His goodness toward you. When the people of God are hardened in heart due to sin, they will start to be ungrateful to God. How you will be ungrateful to God? Along the way you are grumbling, you are complaining. And many people, they will start to think that God is not doing good to them. Some people, they think that God is unfair or unjust with them. And what they will do? They will start to move gradually away from Him and away from serving Him. What they will say, God had moved away from us. But the real situation is that you have been ungrateful, unfaithful, grumbler, complainer, put all your accusation, negative thoughts about God. And that attitude had brought you away from God, not that God had moved away from you. Sacrifice, thank offering. Be a grateful person. See the good things that God is doing and He have done in your life. And God today also reminding you to be grateful and faithful to what you vow you fulfill. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. What you had committed yourself to do, that you need to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You offer things, but the thing that you had vowed to God, you had kept aside. That will not make the Lord silent. He will continue to bring trials and troubles into your life. Till that promise, till that commitment that you forget or you have kept aside, you will make it correct. All right. Verse 15, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. When a pride is there, the people of God will not be willing to humble down before the Lord and cry to Him in time of their distress. They are not willing to repent. They are not willing to amend their ways and cry to Him and telling Him, Lord, we had come back. You please help us and rescue us. Not because He is far away from them, as we have said, but they are far away from Him. Humility, repentance and returning back to God and full dependence on Him will bring glory and honor to the Lord. That is how God will judge His people. In loving them, He gives them a hard time. And this hard time and trials is an opportunity for them to return back to God, to repent, and to call upon Him to help them in time of distress. Court is coming on. I believe that through this message, God is speaking to you. You must realize that you cannot paint your sin, paint your face, paint your bad deeds, or put mask on your face, or put nice clothes and makeup to cover up your sin. You know, in verse 16, but to the wicked person, God say, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant in your lips? You know, those who are not willing to repent and change their life and ways, God is confronting them. God is confronting you. You don't have the right to use His name on your lips, or you don't have even the right to pray. Those people of God who do wickedness, they should not even pray or allow to pray. They are not allowed to pray or lead the prayer. Those who do wrong or sin are not willing to repent. And also, God would not listen to your prayer. Only when you confess your sin and renounce them, then your prayers will be heard and will be attended by the Lord. Why God does not want you even to pray when you are disobedient to the Lord? Actually, He hates to hear such kind of a prayer. There's sin in your life, and you pray away from, as if you have done nothing, as if you are telling to God, I am perfect, as if God is not saying anything, as if you come to fool God. Many people, they pray this way. They will not tackle their sin, their shortcoming. They will not amend their ways in a prayer before God. They will speak unnecessary things. But their real situation and sin, they will not amend. In verse 17, God is confronting His people. This is a court case. It's judgment, it's justice. God is calling everyone. His church is there, His saints, to judge His people. You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. If the people of God do not obey God's word and take His instruction, then they are not loving God. And exactly, they are throwing His word behind their back. So what for they would pray? Even their prayer are detestable. The prayer of the people of God who live in wickedness are detestable to God. Even God said, why you take my name on your lips? And if you are doing like that, what are the sins that His people are more doing? We spoke about self-righteousness, pride. We spoke that people, they think that they are doing favor to God, that without them God or the church will not function. What else? In verse 18, when you see a thief, you join with him. You throw in your lot with adulterers. You know what's going on nowadays? The people of God, when they see somebody doing wrong inside the church, believer, they'll keep quiet. They don't speak. They steal, take advantage, abuse, immoralities, girlfriend and boyfriend, premarital sex, live in the church quiet. And when you are quiet, when you are not rebuking, you are partakers. And what a bad testimony when you agree and condone or cover up such kind of sin, stealing and immorality. The people of God should not promote or encourage sins and wrong practices within the people of God. You know, Apostle Paul, he said, rather expose them. Wrongdoing and sin need to be exposed. Nowadays, when you speak about sin, people are angry with you. But the same people, they are not angry with those who are doing wrong. Those who steal, those who do adultery, they are not going to be angry with them. They are angry with the person who condemns sin. They are against God, they are against the court of God, they are against the justice and the judgment of God. And that what the Lord says, you are partaker with those who steal and those who do adultery. In verse 19 and 20, you use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue to deceit. You sit and testify against your brother and slander your own mother's son. This is where the sin is. The tongue. They will not speak against sin. They will not promote with their lips and mouth the righteousness. They will not go and speak with sinners and rebuke them and persuade them to turn away from sin. They will not do that. They will speak and attack those who are doing correct. You will see many complaints nowadays. Not against those who do wrong. Why this person is strict? Why he is so much living in holiness? Why he is so particular about these things? God is hearing all what the people of God is saying, and he is seeing what they are doing. Those who are worldly with non-renewed mind and their focus are on their flesh desire, they will speak evil against those who tell the truth. They will slander them. They will persecute the righteous. They will tell lies. They will make a slur against them in order to make them silent. And that's why the Lord is saying, you sit and testify against your brother and slander your own mother's son. Nowadays, leaders and pastors, they avoid confronting people with sin because they are afraid of their tongue. And that's what God say. You are partakers with them. You are afraid of people or you are afraid of God? Can you manage that if God is angry to you? I cannot manage. I can manage people's anger, but I cannot manage God's anger against me. Therefore, I stand with the truth. I rebuke evil doer. I support everyone who deals with sin. Verse 21, when you did these things and I kept silent, you thought I was exactly like you. But now, but now I will reprove you and set my accusation before you. You know, when the people of God do wickedness and God remains silent, that does not mean that he is agreeing with them and supporting them, or he is the kind of God accepting his people evil doing. You know, when God is silent while you do wrong and you break his word and commands, that does not mean God is supporting you. The people of God took God for granted when they are silent, when he is silent in dealing with sin inside the families and the church. You know, why the people of God now they are silent in dealing with sin inside the families and inside the church? Because they think God is like that. God is loving and kind, even really pray for this sister to get rid of this man, this brother, his bad habit of stealing. Yeah, all these things nowadays, people, they will not confront. They will keep quiet, they will just pray. I don't know what they are praying to God. They are, you know, the Bible says when you know that your brother doing sin, you go unto him, you and him, and speak. Nowadays, people, they think that Jesus like that. Jesus loves prostitutes. Yeah, he wants to save them, but he does not. That does not mean that those who are coming to church and believers that Jesus is happy with them, they are doing adultery. Or they are stealing. Or they are telling lies. Or they are living in cheating or taking advantage. Or frauding. Or abuse. No. God is not like that. When he say in verse 21, you know, when you did these things and I kept silent, you thought I was exactly like you. Nowadays, they are misunderstanding. That's why, you know, when you rebuke, they say, no, no, Jesus is gentle. That is the wrong understanding who is our Lord. You know, when Jesus is silent, when somebody is doing sin and God is not judging, that does not mean that he is approving. We don't follow what is the action or reaction of God. Sometimes God says, but that does not mean that he's approving. We follow his word and his command. Don't take God for granted and keep silent in dealing with sin inside the families and inside the church. Some people, they even think God is like them, being insensitive to sin and trespasses. No, they are doing bad, but why they are having good salaries, God answered their prayers, they don't have problems, even with all these things. If there is sin, God is not happy. Don't look to the circumstances. Don't wait for God's wrath to come. Once there is a break of God's word, be sure that God is angry. And if he's silent, does not mean that he is accepting what is going on. Put this in your mind, sooner or later, God will judge the sin of his people. God will judge your sin and pay his people, and he will pay you your evil. Therefore, live in line. Therefore, the church should live in line and in agreement with God's word and with God's instruction, putting in your mind that God will sure judge his people. God 100% will judge his people sooner or later. Therefore, we have to be very careful about it. Verse 22, now consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with no one to rescue you. You know, when God is taken for granted in such a way, as if the people had forgetting God, or who is God, or what he can do, or his sovereignty, and what his words say. You say, consider the situation, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces and no one can save you. It's a warning message. This is a timely warning message. Therefore, fear God, repent urgently, and amend your ways immediately, otherwise God's judgment is on the way. You. Those who sacrifice thanks offerings, be grateful. Be grateful that God did not judge you till now. Be grateful and repent. Honor me, and to the blameless I will show my salvation. Repent, renounce your sins, so that the salvation will dwell in you, and you will live in the fear of God, in the peace of the Lord, in the assurance of salvation, living a fruitful life, imparting his word, his will to the people around you. God call you to be a partner with him, to impart his justice and judgment and righteousness to his church and to his people. Come to the Lord, tell him, here am I, Lord. I repent of my sin, my pride, my self-righteousness, my misunderstanding. Forgive me, Lord, I stood and I kept it quiet when people did wrong and sin and stolen things and did adultery. Forgive me, Lord, that I fight with those who were standing against sin. And I compromise and I get my emotion with those who do wrong. Oh God, I ask you forgiveness. Give me, Lord, a chance to correct myself and to come back to you, oh Lord. Oh God, I count my blessing. Forgive me my ungratefulness. Forgive me, Lord, that the thing that I promised you to do, I kept aside and did not fulfill. Oh Lord, I ask your forgiveness. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every brother and every sister who has realized their sin and repented. Bring them back to you, oh God. Restore them. Continue to speak to them, oh Lord. Revive them. Let them, oh Lord, continue that they will live in your will and continue to serve in the manner that you delight with. Oh Lord, I pray those who repented, uphold them with your grace and your mercy and support them, Lord. And I pray those who are not willing, oh God, deal with their sin, deal with their Naughtiness, deal with the filthiness and the corruption and the injustice and the work of darkness and devil that they are entertaining and promoting. In the name of Jesus, we come against all work of Satan. We rebuke in Jesus' name. I pray, O God, justice prevail. I pray that the church will rise up with authority and power to deal with sin and corruption and righteousness. O God, take this message and make it reach those who are in need of your word. O God, let be a fruit, let be a harvest of righteousness. O God, bless us, Lord. Enlarge our territory, God, let your hand be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.